Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Peace, peace. Welcome back. It is your favorite twins, R.E.M. And you're tuned in to DeSoul Radio, powered by Full Service Radio. And we're broadcasting live from the Line Hotel, D.C.
That's right. Every Sunday here at 2 p.m. EST, your girls here talk all things music, culture, and everything under the sun.
Sometimes it's just us in the studio, and other days we have some special guests. And today is one of those days. We have artist Evil in the building.
Hello, hello.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome to DeSoul Radio.
I'm excited.
We're excited to talk about your latest EP.
Cool.
Self-titled,
yes.
Evil. Here's a little taste of it right now. Guys, that was our special guest Evil's track of Mice and Men from her latest EP, Evil.
Yes.
Guys, give you a little vibe of what she sounds like. And it's oh so smooth, oh so angelic.
Thank you.
Thank you. So welcome again.
Thank you.
How are you feeling?
I am very good. Yeah.
Very good.
How are you guys feeling?
Opposite of Evil.
You know, kind of. That's the point, though.
I feel like there's got to be some story behind this. Because initially, you know, this is, I mean, as we know, it's a recent name change for you.
Yeah, I mean, originally I was making music under the name Babel Baggins.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely had wanted to change it for a long time. And just the EP was coming and it was finished. So it was kind of just time to do it.
Right.
And I didn't really, you know, have anything leading up to it. It was just like, okay, this is the new thing. And lots of people have asked about, like, why the word evil, because mm-hmm. of course there's certain things that come to mind when you hear that word. Mm-hmm. But I mean, that's partly why I picked it. But also, just if you think about the word evil, like, everything that it means, but also the word itself is live backwards. And I think that's it's meant so much to me, because I've encountered a lot of quote-unquote evil just living and existing, and, you know, being a non-binary person, mm-hmm. like all of these things that I've experienced, and I've always just been able to live through it. So it's kind of, you know, a double-edged thing for me that just feels very intentional and, like, direct and intense, and that's what I like want it to be, especially with my music moving forward.
I mean, it definitely feels like you're still very young, but you lived different phases and almost like different lives.
Yeah.
Because you were definitely, what, even just from your music alone, were a different person creatively.
Oh, yeah.
When you were Babel Baggins.
100%.
When you were in Barf Troop, like, you were creating hip hop music.
Yeah, 100%.
And now it's almost like a 180, because you're creating very soft and
stripped down
country music in a way.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, where did that transition, like, come about?
When I was making hip hop, I really enjoyed it. But more than anything, I was really just trying to have like a fun experience with my friends at the time. Like you mentioned, Barf Troop. Mm-hmm. It was definitely all about just us being together and like us having a good time and like having fun. And, you know, as I was making that music, as much as I enjoyed it and as much as I enjoyed making music with my friends, you know, after my EP came out and or my mixtape came out in 2015, I just kind of was like, you know, I love making this stuff, but I really want to be able to say what's on my heart and like what is things that I really believe in, not just for fun, like things that really are about my experience. Because I feel like, maybe not for everyone, but for me specifically, anytime I'm listening to an artist, it's because I want their unique perspective on the world. Mm-hmm. And like I want to hear about their experience. That's why I'm listening to, you know, why I'm gonna listen to like a blues song versus listening to Britney Spears. Like it's the
you
difference.
Want a different experience.
Exactly. Yeah. It's the difference ways of looking through the world, and that's what any art is, I feel like, and that's what I want to be able to see the world from everyone else's point of view. So I just realized that there was things that I wanted to say that I didn't really think I could say making that kind of music, because it was just not even that kind of music, just the style that I was making. It just didn't feel right, and I kind of just took some time and thought about what really related to me and what I felt connected with, and I kind of just started leaning towards country music because it's something that I've always been around. And, you know, I've grown up in the country and lived there my whole life, so it's, like, very much my identity. And I just started thinking about, like, what that means to me as, like, a Black non-binary person, mm-hmm. and, like, all of the things that come along with that. Because, of course, when people hear country music, they have a certain image in their mind
about
like, what it is and what comes along with that. And I kind of wanted to be able to defy that and create a space for people like me because, you know, I'm not the only, like, queer Black person who likes country music. I'm not the first and I won't be the last. So I think it's important that we have like representation, because I mean, it's there, but you know, it's in the background of things. So I just kind of wanted to start making that music, create the space, and like open up a world to people that they weren't aware of.
So I mean, everything you said is so relevant and is really true, because there's so many people are multifaceted and you can't always be stuck in a certain phase.
You're always growing and changing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's interesting that you mentioned, you know, you identify as non-binary,
yes.
and you were creating hip-hop music.
Yes.
What was that like being the person that you are in that space and creating country music now?
I think it has some parallels, mm-hmm. but there's also lots of things that are very different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, making rap music, especially at that time, like there were definitely gay rappers, but it was all underground. And we're talking about like Cakes the Killer and, you know, Leaf and all of these people.
Still not really
mainstream. Yeah. Absolutely. So it was kind of its own little community. And it's, we definitely like, it was like playing like Cherry Bomb in New York and like all those things.
Right.
It was like a very close-knit sort of thing. And I think I remember very specifically when I was making rap, I had like they had like wrote about me playing Trelectro here on like XXL, and it was like the first time they had like used non-binary or like they as a pronoun.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like, that's like really cool, like if someone is able to see that at some point
and
you
acknowledge
know,
it on
yeah
the platform,
and like
right?
and see that and be like, okay, this is not like, my identity can be like recognized and not like ignored or disrespected or whatever.
Right.
I thought that was really, really cool. And I think making country music is like some of the stuff is like paralleled, because of course it's like rap and country music, all music in general is super like heavily male driven
mm-hmm.
and super heavily sexist, like for sure.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Country music is not, you know, part from that. It's definitely has a lot of those things.
Definitely and has that recipe. For
yeah,
sure.
absolutely.
For sure.
But there's also, just like rap music, there's so much, you know, gay underground country, and there always has been. It's not, you know, a new thing. That's
mm-hmm.
something that's been happening forever and ever and ever. And I'm happy to sort of be a part of that and kind of continue that narrative and like maybe, I don't want to say bring it to the forefront, because I don't want to kind of like be,
I guess, like maintain its
yeah
presence,
exactly
right?
And like make sure it keeps going,
contributing,
yeah,
contributing,
just make sure it keeps going,
yeah.
And it's not something that we forget about or dilute or like anything like that.
Yeah. No, I mean, that makes sense. You know, I think you know, your artistic experience alone, your journey alone, you know, like you were saying, you were, you know, like a rapper, and now you're into, you know, more of like, I would say country folk.
Yeah, it's like country R&B.
And I just feel like it really, you know, it goes to show the impact of storytelling, because I feel like at its core, right, all music is storytelling.
100%.
And it, a lot of, you can trace roots to all genres of music.
Absolutely.
To blackness and
Absolutely.
Black history. So it really does.
For sure.
It's almost like you're paying homage to that as you're transitioning. So shout out to you, girl.
Yeah, you know.
Shout out to you.
I know.
So what's your experience been like? Because obviously, aside from the genre switch, you're also becoming a solo artist.
Yes.
What has that been like for you creating music as an individual?
A little, it's very different. It's very, very different because, you know, making things was always a collective experience. And I enjoyed it being a collective experience. It was really, really fun. And, you know, when I started making things by myself, it was kind of, okay, all eyes are on me. And, you know, I love making music, but when it comes to like playing shows and stuff, it was always such a comfort to be able to do it with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what fueled me. And then when I started to have to do shows alone, like just crazy anxiety and stressed out, because it's not only a thing of me being alone, but these songs are so personal and like very vulnerable. And it's like, okay, I'm standing in front of these people, like singing about my deepest, darkest feelings, and they're looking at me and I don't know how they're feeling about it or what they're thinking about it.
Yeah.
So it became a big, big stressor, but it's getting better now.
Yeah.
You know, it's nice to be able to go play stuff and see people like it. I opened for Orville Peck last night.
We were going to talk to you about that.
Yeah.
What was that like?
Amazing.
For you?
It was such a good show. I feel like that's really like probably my favorite set that I've ever played. It was so much fun.
Oh, and wow. The
crowd was so amazing. Everyone was really receptive. Orville was great afterwards. It was really, really a great experience.
Awesome.
Really a great experience.
I mean, what better of a pairing?
Yeah, it was amazing.
That's amazing. And I feel like you two as artists alone are rewriting what we as, I guess, a society are perceiving, like what country music could look like
for sure.
Or sound like.
For
even.
Sure.
So I think that's actually like perfect. Like,
yeah, it was amazing. Yeah. I was so like honored when he was like, "Do you want to play this with me?" I was like, "Are you kidding?"
What's he look like? Did you get to see his face?
Yes, it's a secret. I can't tell you.
I know.
You're right. We see what we imagine.
Exactly. I'm like, we gotta see his face.
But can't ruin the mystery.
He's doing a really good job.
He's amazing. Like incredible. It's crazy.
Like incognito.
Yes,
like,
he is so. It's insane.
I feel like those artists always live their best lives because
their
identity is protected, and you know they can just go to the grocery store.
Yeah,
they can do like
so,
you know,
smart.
Whatever, take out their garbage and like live their life.
Yeah,
like, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. So congratulations!
Smart.
Yeah,
thank you.
I mean, exciting. I commend you for, you know, breaking through those anxious moments.
Yeah.
It's interesting because I was just watching an interview with Juicy J, and he was explaining like how much anxiety he had when he began to create his own music aside from 3-6, and he was saying how like every night he would be super like wasted or like drugged up because he could not handle the anxiety. But now he's like pushed forward. Obviously he's a, you know, great successful act and he collects his coin.
Yeah.
But you know, people don't really understand like when you come in as a group, it's like power numbers.
Yeah.
Like,
you get used to the community experience, you know? It's like thinking about being with your family and then suddenly you live by yourself. It's like completely different and you're not used to the feeling and, you know?
Yeah.
You're not used to having someone to turn to or having someone like beside you when you're like, it's all on you. So it's like becomes a totally different experience.
For sure.
Yeah.
So what has helped you get, I know you said at first when you were performing solo it was like difficult, but like what exactly helped you push through to continue doing that?
I definitely still have trouble, but it's more of a just kind of mentally preparing myself and like reminding myself that this is not my moment in the sense of, okay, I'm here, like everybody's going to be looking at me, but this is my moment to tell my story. And this is my moment to express, and I have to take that opportunity to do whatever I want with it. Whether, you know, it's me, like last night, you know, I played the first 4 songs of the show sitting down. And there was definitely people in the crowd that were not happy about me sitting down, but it was like, you know, my artistic decision and what felt right. And it ended up did, like, it was my favorite thing that I've ever played, like my favorites that I've ever played, because I just kind of did what I felt was best and did what I wanted to do. So I think going into shows, thinking of them as just an opportunity to put myself in front of people, and not even myself as an identity, but just my experience, and to present that in the way that I feel it's best represented and it's going to be received and heard, I think that makes me feel a lot more comfortable. Yeah, than like just being like, okay, I'm here, let's like get on the stage. If I'm putting more thought into it and like really putting in the details of what I think is going to be important for me to sort of tell the story, I feel a lot more like comfortable and secure moving
forward.
That
is awesome. I love it. I love that. It's like a level of confidence that really helps you get through. I mean, a lot of people would be nervous to do that major switch in general too, because you have a following.
Yeah.
And I'm sure people like loved Bebo Baggins.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I'm sure some people were like, okay, now you're switching over.
What was the response like when you, even with the name change?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think with the music stuff, thankfully it's like, you know, people really have a lot of like sentimental feelings towards the Bebo Baggins stuff and the Barf Troop stuff in general, because I think they feel like they grew up with it because of the time that it like came out, and like, you know, it being so popular on Tumblr, which was such a like website for like young kids and young teenagers at the time, which we also all were. So it was like they feel like
timely,
they grew up.
Like,
they feel like they like grew up with me and with us in general, like just as a group. So there's a lot of like sentimental feelings there, but I also really appreciate, and I think I've definitely gotten more support than backlash, just because
that's
people really support me as an artist, which I'm really, really thankful for. So it's not even so much about the music that I'm making, it's just me telling my story, and I think that's the most important thing with any sort of art. If you really like someone, I think you should be, of course, listening for the music because you want to hear what you like, but also you're listening to each artist because you want their perspective and you appreciate them and their art
and their involvement over time.
Absolutely. You have to change. I think I think if you're not constantly growing when you're making things and becoming different, then you're not really making anything anymore. Because everything should be different.
Everything should be a transition. Everything should be a challenge.
And not even different as in like a different sound or whatever.
Right, right.
But you should be, you know, not progressing, because I don't like to look at it as like progressive, but just finding new sides of yourself. I feel making art is always about trying to get closer to yourself and feel your most honest, at least for me. I want to be able to just be more honest and more honest with each thing that I'm making. And whatever thing I'm being honest about, that of course is going to differ. But, you know, I definitely can say with each like song that I'm making, it becomes more truthful and more vulnerable and like more closer to me. And I think if you're making things, it should always be that, in whatever perspective you want. You know, you don't always have to be making something sad and depressing. You can make happy things that are closer to you, but I think you should always be making things. I think the best example of that is like Solange. Like, you know, Solange was making great pop music. She's a crazy good singer, and she was like, okay, I want to tell my story about being a Black woman. Like, I want to share that experience with the world. And it's been well received, you know?
Absolutely.
Because she was telling her truth. Exactly. Because she was sharing her truth, you know? And she was doing it in the way that she knew best. And I think that's what you should always do as an artist, and I think you're kind of selling yourself short if you don't.
Right. Especially when you get to a certain level. You
absolutely.
Know, people, you know, you have a platform, and you have to utilize it as best as you can.
For sure.
So people,
which feels most authentic to you.
Yeah.
But I definitely feel that vulnerability in your latest EP, Evil. I feel like you cover a number of topics, and we're definitely going to start unpacking them.
Yeah, I'd love to.
But for your single of Mice and Men, you dropped a visual.
Yes.
And that, to me, was, like, quite the experience because, you know, I'm sure it's I'm gonna talk to you about how you your interpretation of it.
Yes.
But my interpretation of it was kind of like, you know, what I saw was, like, the complexities of a relationship.
Yes.
But I kind of want you to break it down,
because
it's almost from like face value, it's like a Western romance that has a tragic shift in things. But I kind of want to hear what you were thinking when you were creating the concept for it and the song itself.
Yes. Well, the song itself, I think, you know, like the opening line is like, Meisterman, when did your race begin? And when I was like writing that, it wasn't even, it's just sort of about I was just visualizing how, you know, mice or rats, however you want, will be held in, you know, mazes, just for like testing or whatever. And they don't realize, you know, that they're being tested. It's just like their life, you know. They don't realize that that's not what they're supposed to be doing. They just feel like, okay, well, I'm here. I see everybody else doing this. I'm doing that. And I was kind of thinking about that related to the human experience, because it's like, you know, what part of your life is yours and what part is the thing that you think you should be doing, or what someone's telling you to do, or what society expects of
what's
you.
What's implemented.
Exactly. Like, is this your nature? Is that was this what you do naturally, or is this what you feel is forced? And I was speaking, I was using that as sort of a reference as, you know, for love. It's like, you know, are you feeling this certain way? Are you playing out a relationship in this way because you think that's what a relationship is supposed to be, or you think that's what love is supposed to be, or is that really how you feel? Like, how controlled are you by the world around? Are you letting yourself be your truest self?
Big facts.
And tell your truth? Or are you letting everything around you, like, shape your view? And the song is just kind of about that, and just about a person who I cared for very, very much, and for who cared for me very much, but didn't show it in a way that translated to me. And it didn't translate it to them either. It was kind of a disconnection. And that's sort of what the song is. Like, you know, in the chorus, it's like, love me black and blue, which of course you can think of as like a physical thing, but it's more so like an inside thing. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, I know that you love me. I know that you love me, but the way that you're doing it is like battering me. It's not being cohesive. It's not like adding to anything. It's just making things more difficult. But I love you, so I let you do it. You know, I can't be away from you. So it's like, even though this is not going well, I'm feeling very bruised by this like love in our like relationship. I can't say no because I know that you love me, and I'm just trying to like conceptualize that and kind of accept the toxicity of it. So yeah, that's what the song is about.
Well, levels.
Yeah.
Levels, people.
And levels and
this
layers.
Is why we want the artists in here, because I appreciate you sharing, first of all.
Yeah,
for being so transparent.
Yeah, of course.
I feel like heartbreak can translate to different, you know,
yeah, for sure.
responses for different people. Yeah. And so for artists, I feel like it's an even more elevated situation because you pick and choose to put that into your work because it is part of your life experience. So thank you for, you know, sharing and making this cool music as a result of it. But yeah, like, see, this is why we got to pick your brain, because I was watching the video and I was like, this is intense. I got to figure out what
it's more about. Of a physical representation of that, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, the lyrics are there, but we definitely need a back, like a breakdown for sure.
You know, at the end of the day, you can, you know, say whatever you want, but when it comes to art, it really is all about interpretation for each person, because, you know, you're speaking about your life, but they're going to receive it in whatever way they're going to. And I think you should always say it truthfully from your perspective and not try to put it in a way that sounds, that's easier for other people to understand. But I also think it's very, like, important for the listener to have their own experience when they're hearing things.
Absolutely.
And relate it back to things that are relatable to them, whether it's, you know, about that song or about what your subject is or not. Like, it's important for someone to have their own like sentimental attachment to any sort of art, I think.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah.
All right, guys, we're gonna take a quick break. We've got another track from Evil. It's called Slow Dance. We'll be right back. This is DeSoul Radio.
Just wanna slow.
Peace. Welcome back. It's Aryam.
And Yo D.
And you're tuned in to DeSoul Radio. You guys are just listening to our special guest, Evil's track, Slow Dance.
Yeah.
Such a cute song.
Thank you.
But this is not the first time we've heard the song. No. It has been heard by many in the past, specifically on Adventure Time.
Yes.
How does that happen? How does it get featured on a booming cartoon
show? Basically, I had made a song on my mixtape, Positive, called Hero, featuring my best friend Simpson.
Simpson is here.
Everyone, please stream Switch Lanes. It's an amazing song. Okay, but we made a song together that featured some Adventure Time samples, and they had wanted to use it, and they asked me, like, when that came out, and they couldn't end up finding a way to use it. So it didn't end up happening. And then in 2017, Adam, who was head of Adventure Time at the time, had emailed me and asked if he could use a song that I had just made as a demo on SoundCloud. I kind of just made it it was kind of like my first, you know, dive into like the new sound. And it was just a demo that I made by myself on my computer. And he was like, you know, could we use this for the show? And I was like, yeah, if you want to. It's not like, you know, a finished song yet. And he was like, yeah, that's fine. And I kind of went and I recorded, you know, a 45-second clip of it and played it on bass instead of, you know, everything else and sent it over. And they ended up having Marceline sing it and, like, play it. And I didn't end up seeing it until, like, a year later, because it was, you know, the show was ending. It was, you know, it's over now. That was the last season of the show. And I think that's what's so... Adventure Time is such a sentimental thing for me, because I feel like the toughest time in my life, I saw it as such a light, you know, something to look forward to every single week when I didn't have anything else
to
look forward
to. So you were a fan of the show?
Oh, yes. When I didn't have anything else to look forward to, I was like, okay, I know Adventure Time comes on at this time, and I would, like, wait, you know, for it to come on. So the fact that I was, like, able to be a part of that before it was over, like, you know, there's never going to be another Adventure Time episode. So the fact that I'm, like, able to be a part of that is really, really cool. And even...
It's awesome.
Even more so that it's, you know, a gay song. So lots of people have been able to, like, connect with it and find it. And I think it's really cool, especially to present it in that, because gay kids are also be able to, like, see it and feel, like, represented.
I feel like Adventure Time was, like, the perfect... like show placement for that.
I agree.
So I'm glad that worked out.
Me too.
That's an amazing story.
It's amazing. Yeah. I was like, so I remember Simpson and I were in New York at Jungle Studios at the time when it came on TV, and I was just like sobbing. I was like, oh my God, like sobbing. Yeah, I was sobbing because I couldn't believe it. But yeah, it was a really, really amazing experience. I'm really appreciative to like the whole Adventure Time team and Cartoon Network and all of that. It was
That's
really
awesome.
Great.
Yeah.
Shout out to Cartoon Network for great taste in music.
Yeah. Absolutely.
If you hear this, we want to make more music.
I would love to make more music for any cartoons, honestly.
Plugging you guys in. Come on, Cartoon Network.
Speak it up, y'all.
CN, come on. But yeah, it's such a sweet song.
Yes, it is. I love it. And I also love... the EP in general, because there's the tonality of it so cohesive, but you're telling so many different stories. You mentioned that earlier. You know, even when you're listening to A Sour Apple, I thought that was a brilliant song.
Thank you.
Like, wait, this is an interesting take on another complicated relationship or dynamic in love. And then Young Americans definitely gets, you know, the pessimism out of people that probably already was there. But just to feel like you can connect with something that might speak to a lot of people in this current condition is also really fascinating. But I think Transformation is also like a
That's definitely my favorite song. Yeah.
The lyrics alone are like really powerful.
Thank you. They penetrate.
Yeah. But in a good way, because I can tell, I mean, since you've discussed earlier that you write about your own experiences, this is probably a very cathartic piece of work for you.
Yeah.
I mean, you have a line that I pointed out to my sister. I was like, well, that I felt is when you were saying, I wish my name made you choke. Yeah. I wish you, every letter grabbed you by the throat.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
It's like you really painted like the intensity.
Because it was just the feeling, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you know that feeling when it's like, you're at the point where it's like, okay, it's not the ending or beginning of a relationship. It's just sort of like, I wish that like me as a person was so like striking to you that you just like couldn't get past it.
Mm.
Like, I just wish that like, you know, any time that you thought of me was the only thought. And it's like, you know, not even like always from a loving perspective, just even for like, just from like an aggressive like recognize that I'm a person, like see that I'm here, like you can't like deny it, like you know who I am and I know who you are, like recognize that.
Unavoidable.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
For sure. I felt something that about the name, like just personifying someone's name and what that means.
Yeah.
And it's just, that was really great writing.
Thank you.
I know you have a co-writer that's listed on a lot of your songs.
So all of the lyrics are written by me.
Okay.
But the co-writer is a guy by the name of Dave James.
Yes.
He produced all the tracks. So, you know, all of the music, outside, you know, the banjo sections that I'm playing was written by him.
Okay.
So, you know, it was only me and him throughout. He's amazing. I definitely couldn't have like made it without him. Dave James is like a genius.
So I was going to ask you, like, what's that process like of like finding someone that you can collaborate with that can help carry on your vision?
It's definitely really hard. And and that's what took so long to be able to make this, because it was so difficult, you know, going into places trying to explain what I was trying to do and no one understood.
Yeah.
And, you know, finally I met Dave and he was like, well, you know, I think I get what you're trying to say. Let's just try to do it together. And I think that's really what made it happen, us being able to be communicative and like really do it together versus someone kind of just being like, okay, this is what you want, this is what I'm giving you in streams, what you want. Like each song, Dave and I would be like, okay, you know, what do we want here? And he would do something and send it to me, and I'd be like, okay, like, let's change this and do this instead. And he would do it and he would be like, okay, well, what if we do this? And it was always such a very collaborative experience. So it was like, you know, although I don't produce, but I, you know, play banjo and stuff, it was like I was producing because we were doing it together.
So you both play the banjo?
I played the banjo.
Okay.
He plays like everything. He's a genius. He's a genius.
That's awesome.
So how do you get into playing a banjo?
So
it's not very common.
It's definitely not. When I started, like, decided I want to make country music, because I mean I've always loved it, you know, ever since I was a kid. It's always been something that's really special to me and something that I've related to. And the banjo, the sound of the banjo just is so peaceful, but also like intense, and like, you know, when you hear a banjo versus other instruments.
Yeah, I think, definitely distinct.
Yeah, you can, like, if you hear a banjo, it stands out because you can hear that it's a banjo. It has such a specific, like,
that is very
special sound. And, you know, I have always loved that. And I think even just the history behind the banjo itself, like it being an African instrument, all of that, it just was really important to me to be able to play it to add to the narrative that I was trying to create of Black people making country music.
Yes.
And trying to be as representative of that and, like, put as much of that into the music that I could. And I thought, you know, I have always wanted to play the banjo. I like, this is exactly what I want the narrative for this project to be. Like, I'm just gonna play the banjo. And I started playing it, and I think you know, I can play other things, but I think banjo is always gonna be like
close,
you know,
to
my heart. Yeah, it's like, like my banjo is like named Curtis. He's like my child. Like,
aww.
Literally, I'm like so sentimental. I'm like, please be careful of my son. Like, just like very serious, very serious.
You're like, please.
Literally, very, very serious.
Well, for a lot of artists, they say music is their first love. So
absolutely,
it makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%.
You seem like you're in a really good place, like creatively, where your project has, you know, come into fruition, and even your like your identity and everything, like.
I can see how excited, like, in your eyes, like, as you talk about, like, your music, and it's such a great, you know, vision to see.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I'm really excited for it to finally be in the world, you
know? It took kind of a while.
A long time, to make it and find someone else who understood trying to make it and, you know, going through the songs, because I am definitely, above all else, a songwriter, and I write hundreds of songs and, you know, have hundreds of melody voice memos, and I had to go through everything and find what I thought was important to telling the story. So it took a lot of time to not only record the songs and make the songs, but pick the songs that were supposed to be on it. Because, of course, every single project you're making, you want it to be, like you said, cohesive and to tell a story and for it to be very clear what that story is. So it took a lot of time to make, and I'm just really happy that it's in the world, and I'm really happy that people, like, enjoy it and are hearing it and receiving it and, you know, having their own attachment to it. And I'm really glad. It's like, you know, here's my, it's like butterfly out of the cocoon, you know?
Yes. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Evil on dropping Evil.
Thank you.
What can we expect from you coming up?
Definitely making more stuff. Doing some special secret stuff that I won't talk too much about with Simpson again. We will be working together.
Okay. Something to look forward to.
Yes, okay. We'll be together again soon. For all of the Barf Troop fans, we have not separated. We're coming back together.
Yes.
That's awesome. Definitely working on my stuff. We're working on, you know, full-length album and getting all the songs together and just, you know, continuously trying to create my own identity and, you know, my journey as an artist. Just trying to continue it and see what it becomes and see what it changes and, you know, always trying to grow better, not as in better as, like, more, you know, acclaim or whatever, but just as a person and as an artist and, like, telling more truths and being more honest and being more open and, you know, coming closer to myself, but also coming closer to others, just being a better person through art. So
awesome. Yeah. Well, we'll be keeping a lookout
for anything new. For folks that
want to keep up with Evil, where can they find you?
On Instagram, it's just Obey Evil. And on Twitter, it's Obey Evil with one in place of the I. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And then your music is on Apple Music.
Yeah, I'm on every streaming website as Evil, you know, yeah. EVIL. Pretty simple.
Well, Evil, thank you so much for joining us this Sunday. It was so great chatting with you.
Thank you for having me.
Guys, if you like what you heard, we'll be back same time, same place next week. You can keep up with us at DEUXSOL on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Till next time, peace. Flowers to grow, but you never know.